Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We're heading into our session in We're Still in Houses 5 and 6. We're heading into Transformation of Worry. And worry is all about giving rise to clarity. Clarity is associated with the skull. And worry is often an emotion that's associated with overthinking or having anxiety and having just excessive thoughts rule through us. So it's the idea that not even excessive thoughts, but unproductive thinking, thinking that is not in service of what is just clearly in alignment for your next step, but it's thinking that's personalized, that's overly often redundant and cognitive and exhausting, and it's where most of the population hangs out. Yeah. So we all have heard we're not our thoughts. We've all done a meditation or something along those lines, and we know that. Intellectually, yet most of us are still really blended with that. So think of this as helping to shave off any bits of that and support you in recognizing the truth of who and what your thoughts really are. So as we head into our session, we invite you to get comfy and cozy. Find a little place either to sit or lay and be undisturbed for our time together. Ooh. I'm back in Calgary, which is the new background here, in case you're wondering. I forgot how dry Calgary is. So I've been hydrating like something out of this world. I have a little bit of a dry cough just because I've been under hydrating. So you might hear a little bit of a cough in today's session. Hey, so as you settle in, give yourself on purpose a little bit of movement, a little bit of wiggle woggle, shake shimmy. Let yourself make any fine adjustments, allowing yourself to really just continue to move. You don't actually have to lay or sit in stillness. I'm going to invite you on purpose to listen to how the body wants to move and to let yourself actually on purpose go with any unwindings that are coming through. No need to brace yourself in any particular way here. In fact, I'm going to invite you amongst it all to turn to your breath, which is very dynamic. I'm going to invite you to take some fuller, deeper inhales, exhales. And as we're not in breath work, you're welcome to do that through the nose. And just notice where you are breathing from. Sometimes we end up accidentally breathing a little bit through our mouth, or we've gotten used to breathing through our mouth. I'm going to challenge you, if it's at all available and possible, or you may already be doing it, to breathe through the nose. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in. Let's let yourself go even just a little bit deeper. And then I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, take a moment to scan your environment. You can either look outer or inner. I'm inviting you on purpose to go for a wander with your senses. As you do so, letting your gaze land on anything in particular that feels pleasant, neutral, drinking in the beauty, drinking in the different angles and all the things that may be around you or inside of you. Letting yourself eventually land on one thing in particular. Noticing what it is you like the most about that thing, see if you can name a few qualities. Then take a moment to drink it in, to savor that, to receive it a little bit deeper by means of breathing it inside of you and being mindful as you slow down to really drink it in and savor. And like a high-end wine taster, I'm going to invite you to notice what it feels like in the body. Where you feel it, what it seems to be like inside of you as you breathe it in, as you savor. You're savoring, you're breathing, and you're noticing how the body responds amongst that all. Whatever's happening in the body is pleasant, to easeful, to neutral, anywhere on that spectrum. I'm going to invite you to see if you can savor that too. And as you continue to drink that in, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for the opportunity to gather with you all. Thank you to all of the elements that went into that, to your family, to your ancestors, to your lineage, and to this world. For holding it all. And thank you to the animals who walk and crawl and swim and fly, to nature who reminds us what it is to be naturally us, and to this earth for holding us, the sky above for giving us space, the fire for rolling through and connecting us to the realm of the unseen, lifting us up, rising us up and beyond. And the water for anchoring it deep into our very bones, into the core of our essence, into our very being. Thank you for this grace. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. And I'm going to invite you to take a moment to breathe just a little bit deeper into the edges of your skin. To the point where even the skin becomes alive with breath. It's an interesting start where we're headed to. We're working with the skin inside of your ear. You know, the skin that goes through the outer ear, and then eventually, it's not skin anymore, but the lining of the middle ear, the inner ear. And we're actually working with the linings through this part of the body. We're looking at the the nerves that hang out and innervate through here. In essence, it's the part of the social engagement nervous system that allows you to hear others and allows you to be heard. And here we're looking at the belief systems that say otherwise and say, I don't get a fair chance. I'm not getting a fair shake. People aren't slowing down to take me in. People aren't giving me space to understand me. And we're looking at basically the expectation that that will always be the way that it is. And that's how essentially your system learned that it would be when you were little. So I'm actually going to suggest that your experience of the outside world is driven 100% by something that you learned in some way, shape, or form. That was likely informed, yes, by ancestors as they shape your parents, your caregivers, who raised you. The story takes a few twists and turns if you were adopted, but nonetheless, there's still an element here of the activation of the adopted parents, activating the same informational field that was tied into your ancestors. So it still works, still holds water. And as we work with the ears, they are the sense of the kidneys, or the processing center of the kidneys. And they actually help us to connect to the ancestral realm. And amongst that, we're linking it right through to the heart. The kidneys and the heart, they have a really interesting hormonal connection. And in Chinese medicine, there's a strong connection between the kidneys and the heart as well. And amongst that all, we're adding to the party one more meridian, which is the Yang Wei Mo Meridian. Okay, I don't have a ton of knowledge of that one at my fingertips like I used to. And my cheat book is in another location, it's downstairs. So I'm gonna wing it. The Yang Wei Mo Meridian, it connects all of the masculine or all of the yang meridians. So it's going to help with the crossover points where they flow into one another. So where the large intestine flows into the stomach, where the small intestine flows into the bladder, where the triple heater meridian flows into the gallbladder. It's actually going to work with all of the yang connection points. And it helps them to cohesively, in essence, work as a team. And it is in connection to things that are incredibly ancestral, things that are more complex in nature. It can work with how you self-sabotage relationships. Anybody self-sabotage relationships? Should probably have my feet up too. And it also works with the realm of bipolar. So anytime we have like a really huge split, like we have a Jekyll and Hyde kind of a thing going on, would be a metaphorical way of speaking to bipolar metaphorically. Doesn't mean you have bipolar as like a Western medicine diagnosis, but anything you have like as a really huge split that way. And it does a few other things that just aren't at my fingertips right now. But in essence, it's working with how the system is overall organizing to take action in alignment with the heart, which was the link just before this. So how is your system organizing itself to take action, to create, to be seen in your creations? And the places where that's not happening, places where that's not happening, there's a few emotions going on. One is worry, no surprise. And that's actually turning into jealousy. So it's a type of overthinking that is like, but other people are doing it and I can't. And essentially, there's that limitation of perception. And jealousy, I'm going to say, is just basically passion disguised with a shame face. So it's passion overlain with shame. It's passion bearing a mask, a face that is not its own. So in amongst here, there's also the emotion of shame. We got shame, we got jealousy, we got worry. All hanging out in this particular meridian. All impacting how the system is taking action or not taking action. feeling a little bit stuck, feeling like it just can't quite get where it wants to be. A sense of also wheels spinning, like maybe there's actually lots of awareness and ideas and thoughts, but it's like it can't get off the ground. I have a morbid image here, so bear with me, be warned, morbid. But the images of embryonic skeletons, and it's like things that were dead before they get off the ground. Things that were dead before they get off the ground. And shooting yourself down before you even give yourself a chance to have the space that you can take up to be able to move forward and execute on your ideas, your creations, your actions. So feeling really shut down and frozen around that all. Now, the flip side of that is that there's actually a bunch of potentiality here. So amongst that, embryonic skeletons are in essence the things that have bones. They haven't fully taken shape, however. So they're not fully expressed. They haven't come to life fully. And they could go a wide array of directions. And amongst that all, there's just a little bit of overwhelm and a whole lot of worry. There's a sense of like, how is that going to happen? How do I make that happen? What's the way to make that happen? How do I even find faith to know that's going to happen? How do I find trust to know that's going to happen? How do I find my way here? Yeah. And for that all, we're actually going to run a seed tree. It's going to continue for the next week, till next Wednesday, or whenever you listen to this session. Starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal on all levels, really. And amongst that, hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities, while also balancing the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection. Then the defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized, utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there is none before. Then integration and introspection shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. All linking into the transition point between where the liver meridian ends and the lung meridian begins. And in amongst that space, the liver meridian is hanging on to some old baggage, so it's actually getting hard to activate into the new beginnings of that lung meridian, which is also why the embryonic skeletons aren't getting off the ground and becoming bigger skeletons, developing bigger bones. I know this is like a post-Halloween session. We're just gonna have to roll with the skeleton theme. And there's this sense here of just like heavy baggage. It's tied into the yin meridian, meridians, pardon me. So it's actually gonna encompass the lungs, the spleen, the heart, the kidney, along with the pericardium and the liver. So it's working with the entirety of all of those yin meridians, which carry our deep nourishments. It's in alignment with the maternal essence, and it's supportive of, in essence, having the sense of being fueled, having the sense of being resourced, having the inner world of feeling, of memory, of meaning, be available. It gives rise to inner coherence, a sense of being able to hold together the emotional fabric of your inner landscape and to ensure that your experience feels continuous, integrated. So it's kind of like the flip of the yang wei mo. The yin governs our internal world, how events are felt and internalized. We're actually linking this to the yin wei mo meridian, which connects all of those realms of the yin. And it protects against being fragmented after having an emotionally trying time. It helps you to again be coherent, to keep your sense of self continuous. And it balances your sense of vulnerability and seeing into yourself and allowing to be like really steadfast and not collapse amongst that all. So there's a deep steadiness here. It's like surfing the waves without being swallowed by them. If it's off, we can feel easily overwhelmed, a deep sense of worry. Melancholy is often how it'll show up. It'll sometimes go into nostalgia, like remember the good old days, the good old times, and there's a sense of being trapped in our past. Think of this as helping your heart to remember your essence again. Helping to be restored. And helping to be embodied, to be reclaimed inside of you. In fact, as we talk about this, you're welcome to take a hand to your heart and breathe right into it. Breathing right into the heart space. Letting your body deepen into the heart space by means of breathing slowly. Not about going deeper, faster. It's about slowing down. Continuing to breathe through the nose if you're not already. As we do this, I'm actually releasing, I'm seeing a release, pardon me, of shock through the system. So the slower you go, the more can actually be met and unwind through the entire heart space. And there's actually a worry around like complete and utter dissolution amongst radical changes in life. Things like job loss, illness, loss of a loved one, times in which your world changed radically. And as we do that, it's actually going right back to the yang wei mo, and we're going into the space between the kidneys, the low back area, and we're working, I think we touched on this last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, around trusting the path in life, trusting the flow of life. Trusting that you'll be held throughout the journey. Despite the pains, it also can help you to hold steady during the things that are going really well. Sometimes when things are successful, and we're just about to feel like we're making like a big breakthrough in our old patterns, and that can equally be a trying time. The system can fragment here. The system can, in essence, fall apart with the steady thread of intimacy and vulnerability alike. Feeling like it's a little bit too much. So we're actually working that out through the lens as well, through not just the sufferings, but also the quote unquote, the trauma of success, the trauma of joy, the trauma of actually getting what it is you want. Those of you who have been with me around the freefall era, the freefall days, have heard me say this a lot, that the most traumatic thing I've ever seen a human being attempt to do is to take up joy, because it's held in equal balance with every other emotion. So to navigate joy mindfully is to have a steadfast way of holding the entire emotional landscape, which the Yin Wei Mo supports. Okay. Amongst that, it's going to a theme of something that I'm honestly not super familiar with. But the idea is that, similar to like self-sabotaging relationships, which we talked about with the Yang Wei Mo, it's the fancy name, the Tantalus complex. When there's like just about to have an achievement, or just about to have a success, or just about to get that recognition, or just about to succeed in some way that you haven't before, that there's an immediate turn on of anxiety or worry. So it's like you're just about to get that thing, the goal is really close, you're about to grab it, your hand reaches out, and at that same moment, there's an inner brake that like slams on. And all the histories of the times in which you felt unsafe as a little one, they show up. They show up in a big, major way. And it shows up in a way that says, like, I won't. I can't. Because life where you had to coexist with coldness or humiliation or unpredictability, the brain learned to read, to approach what was desired as a warning. So there's this like risk between desire and risk. There's a recognition that can turn into shame, that closeness turns into control, that success turns into envy and punishment. And over time, it becomes literally wired into your safety reflex. Better not to reach out than to lose. And in real life, it can look like a step forward, then an immediate retreat, self-sabotage, fatigue, heavy sense of there's something wrong with me. So trauma, which is also really supported in being met through the Yang Wei Mo meridian, is encoded here. So it feels like that's happening even in this present moment, even though those caregivers are no longer there. So the body is continuing to rinse, repeat. It holds readiness and any uncertainty that it's reading as a threat. So, how does this show up in day-to-day life? It can show up in your ways where there's like an important conversation that just gets postponed. The chance to grow in a different way gets rejected. Praise knocks you off balance. Oh boy, do I know this one well. This is like a always thing for me. It feels like anytime I get a sense of like recognition or praise for something, I immediately follow it up with a mistake of some sort. I remember in ballet class, this was so obvious. I would get something right and my instructor would praise me. And I would immediately, in the very next second, screw something up. So I feel like I've lived this one a very long time, continuing to learn about this particular, I think I called it a complex earlier. Let's stick with that wording. Yeah, so there's the sense of screwing things up after you get praised. Yeah. It's kind of also another way you could show up is like watching for the shoe to drop. Or being the first one to reject something before you get rejected, or breaking up with people before they break up with you. So there's a sense of something that we learned as a defense to keep us safe. and noticing, having the opportunity now to just notice where the tendency to avoid taking that step forward is showing up, and to feel it in your body, to notice what's happening. And this is something that's going to take a long time, but it's essentially noticing how your desires and the sense of internal danger, the sense of worry, the sense of fear, can be here as well. The sense of anxiety is a really common one. And approaching that without having to lash and recoil against it or being driven through it unconsciously. And it's in little ways, it's in small ways. It can show up in ways as well when we start to feel like pride without shame, as an example. Often a precursor to say that you're in this neighborhood or in this territory, potentially, not to project on anybody. So as we work with this, it's wired into the social engagement nervous system as a whole, that goes not just into the ears, but through to the eyes, the mouth, the tongue, down through the heart. So it's a wide array of complex nerves here. And again, we're looking at this as a learned response. That desire is risky, too dangerous, unsafe. It's a threat in some way. Success is going to not be worth it. It's unhooking the belief system. If you're ever told some version of this wording, it's more so not the exact words, but the essence and the meaning. It's pointing to you're getting too big for your britches. Who do you think you are? And a sense of being shut down really hard for, in essence, being yourself. In my household, that may have shown up with some abuse at times too. Might have been yours, I don't know. But the attitude of you're getting too big for your britches. And it could have shown up in innocent ways, where we come sometimes to this thing like, oh, you're growing up so fast. Gosh, I remember when you were a baby. Or I remember when you were just little. I remember all those things. And it's like anchoring them to the heavy weight of the past. Coming full circle back to that space between liver, where it ends as a meridian, and the lung, where it begins. This is some of the heavy burden from the history of the past that we're working with balancing. We're on a cellular repair, restoring the cells back to their fullest expression, their fullest potential, their fullest desires of health, of wholeness, of well-being, of authentic essence. And we're doing that for the space again between the liver, between the lungs, giving them space to be met, giving them space to breathe again, and giving them space to remember the essence of the flow of their very soul and its nature. Running the permissions here. I know who I am. I know who I am. And we're linking that right back to House Five, to the heart, the center of harmony, the center of wisdom and knowing, the center of I know exactly who I am, and I get to be proud. I get to be proud of that. I get to be proud of how it is I create. I get to be proud of what brings me pleasure. As I say that, there's again the emotion of jealousy that shows up. And here we're going to work with the release of shame around the sense of passion that's underneath that. There's a sense here of I'm going to use this term more broadly than you might think of, but the term of sexual desire, erotic intelligence, as being a threat. There's a sense here of, I'll get too carried away with that, I'll lose myself, I'll become ungrounded, and even to the point of, I could die. I could die. There's a reason the French call the word for orgasm la petite mort. It's actually a fear of death that's here. Okay, just taking a moment to tune in. And we're linking this all now to the link between the heart and the tongue. And enjoying the, I'm gonna say like the sensual pleasure of food and what it brings. Not having to use it as comfort to escape, but as a celebration, like that actually just like tastes amazing. And I really love that. And using it as a way where food can often inspire, and our taste can inspire a level of creativity. It's like you can almost taste that next thing that you want to design or create or live into. And little kids, they do weird things with their mouths and their tongue like all the time. And this is the house of the inner kid. This is the house of play. This is the house where, think of like children who are putting everything in their mouths, like figure out what that is. They literally are using it as a complete sense organ. It's also your center of nourishment. It's also governed by the spleen, as we talked about in the fourth house. There's this connection between the spleen up to the heart via the tongue. So we're looking at helping the heart to feel deeply nourished, to feel inspired, to create by allowing this essence of getting to be playful and to find pleasure with the mouth. Maybe that's you take a minute to just like roll the tea that you're drinking around your mouth to fully taste the flavors of it. And this doesn't mean break your diet or whatever it is you're eating right now. I'm on a pretty strict food list that I'm eating right now, and the main thing is that it's really bland, and I've never tasted food. I've been on it since July, so for a few months now, and I've never tasted food more than I have now. I could actually taste without salt or pepper on my food. I could actually taste. I occasionally have some salt. Don't worry, my blood pressure is fine. For those of you that are concerning yourselves about such things, I can actually taste like the salt in things now in ways that I never have before. So there's this capacity to linger slowly, sensually, and to drink in flavor that I've never even found possible before because of what I'm eating. So it doesn't mean you have to change what it is you're eating. Just start where you're at. Start exactly where you're at. And it doesn't mean go on a bland diet. I mean, unless you want to, knock yourself out. It's more so just turning to what is present in your day and finding the tastiness in it. There's this metaphor in, I think it's Buddhism. If you can literally perceive everything as having one taste, like it doesn't leave a bad taste in your mouth, whatever is flowing through life, then you know that you're like deeply past the state of the mind having overreactions and being triggered by things. But it's supporting you in being able to not necessarily avoid the feeling of the trigger. It's more so pointing to where there's work to be done, where you don't perceive something to be just as tasty as anything else in life, that there's information there for you to explore, to look at. So as we work with the tongue is this bridge between the spleen and the heart. The tongue is also the deep directly connected muscle to your entire fascia, to your entire connective system. And we're working with the way that the connection of the fascia is holding through two areas, the right edge of the body, the right lateral edge, right side body, as well as in through the back of the heart on the right side, going through the actually it's going up to the back of the skull, the back of the neck, the back of the chest, the upper back area, and the back of the shoulder blade, all the way down through the arm, all the way through to the pinky finger where the heart meridian runs. And we're working with this interplay of how the fascia is holding its old limitations, its old restrictions, its old, I should pull away from that which I thought would bring me fulfillment and desire and satiation. There's a sense of like retraction or recoil that's held within the tissue. It's just a cellular memory. We see those change all the time in body talk. This is not that big of a deal. It's just a pattern. It's just a pattern. And underlying it is a sense of, I shouldn't go for that. It'll harm me, it'll harm others, it'll bring harm in some way. There's a sense of protecting others by actually not achieving what it is you want. That might hurt them, they may not like me, they might not, etc. And that, in essence, is one of the most, I think, abusive things you can do to your own system. And it was learned. It was learned. So certainly not blaming you for holding on to it and knowing that. And those who taught it to you, learned it from somewhere too. I'm going to invite us to, as we run with a cellular repair, to imagine there's like a flow of water, as we're also going to run hydration here too, through the outer edge of the right side body and through that area, through back of skull, back of neck, upper back, through shoulder blade, all the way down through arm, into that pinky finger. To imagine that this part of your body gets to flow like a river, to be fluid in its motion, to be fluidly reactive or responsive, but not necessarily overreactive. So when I say reactive, it's not like a bad thing. Sometimes people need to hear it through the lens of the word responsive to really get it. But it's actually doing that word as a service. Reactive is to know that you can react to things without falling apart, without going to pieces. It means you can hold your own. And we're going to run a permissions here at the same time, which is simply that word. I can react to life. I can react to life. Pardon me, I'm going to switch the wording up a little bit. It's coming to tweak it. I'm able to react to life. I'm able to react to life. I'm able to react to life. I'm going to go ahead and tap it on in here. Invitation to breathe as that river flows. Just giving that a gentle round of breath. And letting yourself rest in the essence of the breath. And then we're turning our attention towards the immune system. But in essence, anytime we have immune system stuff going on, it means somewhere along the lines we learn that we should suppress ourselves. We should suppress our reactions, our responses, our emotions, our feelings, our capacities. We're actually going to the education system to, if you were in particular raised in any formal education system, but really wherever you were raised, it said, this is how we do things here. And it didn't actually honor your own unique expression of your own particular gifts. It didn't let you lean into the development of that. Instead, you were taught that, well, this is what we do at this age. We read at this level. We think at this level. We experiment at this level. We don't think this at this level. We do that in the next level. And we're teaching people to restrict themselves. And it's so deeply unconsciously embedded in the whole system, in the whole thought process, that we actually learn to suppress ourselves. And then we think that we need to, I'm gonna rant here for just a moment. Forgive me. I don't usually warn you in advance when I'm about to rant, but we're here. And I think I just outed myself. Oh no, you didn't see my knee. Okay. I've got the Zoom wardrobe on where I've got pajamas on the bottom and professional wear on top. where was I about to rant? Yeah. So the immune system will become active, and then we think that we need to go treat that with more things that suppress our immune system, often medications that lean into that territory. And I'm certainly not saying don't get off of that. If your belief systems are wired that way, then by all means stay on it. You might not have the space or the room in your nervous system to be able to challenge that. And that's okay. That's okay. That's a process. And if you've got the space for it, and that line of thinking makes sense to you, then I leave it to you to experiment however you will. I'm certainly not telling you what to do. And I'm just pointing to the suppression of an immune system is not going to help anybody. With an already suppressed immune system, which is what's happening when we have our allergies, when we have something as simple as like a runny nose when we're sick, when we have any other form of even more severe immune system things, asthma, MS, the like, there's lupus, the list is really long here, Sjogren's, there's a lot of names for them. But the thing is in Western medicine, nobody understands what that really means. They just have a bunch of words that they put to a constellation of symptoms and they outline them in a particular way, but they don't actually know what that actually means. They don't really get the underlying pieces. They instead just give it a label and say, oh, well, that's what this is. And this is how we can deal with that. And this is how we can treat that. And what they mean by treat is manage. Okay. Which doesn't actually allow you to get to the root of what's underneath it. Okay, rant over. Rant over. I gotta rein that in, otherwise I can go off for a very long time. And there's a sense here within the immune system itself of feeling, this is partly why I ranted and didn't even know it at the time. I thought I was just being self-fulfilling in my own little passion. There's this idea within the immune system that it's really quite distressed by being suppressed. And it's no longer actually wanting that. It actually would like to do what the immune system is meant to do, which is, I'm going to quote Deepak Chopra, pardon me, which is to be an exquisite pharmacy, being able to do what it was built to do. And that it doesn't necessarily need the 89 supports that you might be giving it in the same way that it's gotten used to them. But there's actually more space in your immune system to have a fuller, richer, deeper expression, to take up space, to not have to be suppressed or managed. And in essence, we're through a body talk lens, releasing the exhaustion from your very bones, your very blood, around managing that, because that's how you learned. You learn how to suppress yourself through not just education, through family, through culture, through society. And in doing so, you expressed what you were taught to versus what's actually authentically here. It doesn't allow you to fully come to your own lights. I said rounds was over, didn't I? Okay, coming back now. And amongst all of that, we're linking it into the sixth house, which is the house of practicality. It's the house of being in alignment with your health. Another word for health is just simply wholeness. So it's being in alignment with that which is already whole, is another way to think of that word health. It doesn't require you to do a bunch of things. It just requires a state of being. And amongst that, we're working with, and we've been here before, this area where the small intestine begins and the different enzymes enter through the gallbladder, through the pancreatic duct, through a fancy name. It's always a fun one, sphincter of Oddi. I have to look up what the Greek meaning of Oddi is. I bet you there's a story there. I don't know it, but I wonder. I'll give myself homework. I'll report back if I find anything, if I remember. Feel free to follow up and challenge me on that if I forget. Menopause brain being what it is. And amongst that, there's this area where the enzymes enter, the area where there's a rich breakdown of nutrients to actually support the absorption, which points to the fact that we're meant to break down. We are meant to go through dissolution. We are meant to do those things. So it's okay to have a symptom. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be messy. It's okay to not have it all together. In fact, it's required for there to be an emergence of something different, for the nourishment to be able to fill you, to enter through you. As we work with this, we're working with a consciousness of emptying yourself out in any particular areas where there's just a little too much history, shall we say, clogging the works, where there's a bit of stagnant energy. As we do so, linking right back into that sixth house, working with the small intestine meridian, its entire pathway, and its capacity to bring in awareness and discernment. In doing so, working with the planetary energy of Mercury, bringing in curiosity enough to think in different ways, curiosity to communicate in different ways, and I want to say curiosity as well to unlearn the things that have been potentially logged into the left brain as fact when you actually get to have your own ideas and thoughts that go beyond just simple facts that you were taught by somebody else. As we do this, we're unraveling through the fascia of the left brain misinterpretations, confusions. Confusion is another name for worry. And as we unravel those misinterpretations, those confusions, the excess worry that's creating almost like a dampness in the system, kind of like when Earth is bogged down with water. When Earth is bogged down with long-standing water on a field, and there's a little bit of almost like gunk, that's my fancy term, growing within the water itself. It's like that little microfilm of water that begins to breed microbes, that begins to breed a certain amount of stagnant energy, and a sense of being literally heavy, bogged down and weighed down, a sense of feeling off kilter within your immune system, feeling diseased. That dampness in the water held through the left brain, in the level of the connective tissue, the fascia that surrounds all of the elements here. We're just simply releasing that to whatever extent it's available to go, knowing that that's a very long-standing pattern. As we begin to release that, we're linking it through to the spleen, through to the tongue, through to the heart. In essence, working with the bridge between the two meridians, the spleen and the heart. And we're giving you permission to get to have different tastes than others, to give you permission to rebel, to not have to fit in, to stand out a little bit more. And amongst that, releasing the active memories around standing out, times in which you felt like you were a black sheep and that cost you connection. So, in turn, you can actively connect through the lens of what actually is authentic connection, because it's actually not authentic connection if we're trying to connect with people by compromising yourself. Interesting. We're linking this all to the 12th house, house of the liver, the seat of the liver soul, the house that helps to act in ways that are adaptable, and that brings in general activity through your muscles, through your tendons, through your ligaments. And once again, we're working here with the permission statement. I'm able to react. I'm able to react. And amongst that, working with the reaction of acceptance, the reaction of compassion. And when I say these things, I don't just mean for other people, I mean for you. Both. As well as to react to your own worthiness. To react to your own worthiness. And we're linking that into all five senses to help it to be seen, heard, smelled, tasted, felt. And linking it through to the third eye, holding the overarching vision. Holding the overarching vision of you. And the act of being able to create you, to sculpt you, by no longer being holden to the past, but by allowing yourself the freedom to find out what that is for you without having to know it, without having to think about it, but to literally have it just simply unfold in a way that is insight or potentially intuitively led. And then we're linking that up to the very center of the crown, up to our center of habit, to our center of crown. This is the area where we get born, where we become alive. So it's working with helping you to connect all of this to literally the habit of feeling fully and utterly alive as you. We're gonna tap this all out here. Invitation to breathe, invitation to receive, however feels right for you. A couple minutes over time, forgive me, y'all. I have a song to play for you. It's 3 minutes and 40 seconds, and it so speaks to the theme of all we've been talking about. So I'm inviting you just to find that resource if you want to continue to nourish yourself, or if you're feeling right good where you're at, then stay right there. Invitation to stay with your breath and let yourself really just rest and receive here for another 3.5 minutes or so.
You don't have to know the way knows the way. You don't have to plan the way, trust the way, feel your way. The way knows the way. You don't have to know.
The way
You don't have to plan
the way,
trust the way. You don't have to plan the way, trust the way, feel your way. The way knows, the way knows, the way knows the way.
Thank you for being here today, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Mwah, mwah, mwah. So grateful for the medicine that you all carry as you. Wishing you a beautiful rest of your day and your week ahead. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, 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 and on out, y'all. Have yourselves a amazing week. We will chat with you just after Remembrance Day. Okay, bye for now. And for those of you that celebrate that, some of you might not, and not celebrate that, but have that as a holiday in your country. Okay, that was the wrong wording. Celebrate, but you know what I mean. Observe the holiday. Okay, y'all, have yourselves a good one. Bye for now.